Amen. Thank you, Ensemble. Take your Bibles, please, and go to Romans 7, and we'll be there again tonight. And then, but first of all, we're going to go to Psalm 19. Just want to read a passage, Psalm 19, and we had a great time in our men's prayer group again. I believe 14 men gathered tonight, and had some great testimonies and a lot of things said. And but it got me thinking again about the series. Actually, it was going to be one message, and so far it's been two. Started a couple weeks ago, and it's already been two. Maybe we'll get through tonight, but I doubt it very seriously. I don't know. But we're talking about the flesh. And again, it is, the Bible says much about it. But we, some testimonies were given. I got to thinking, we've been talking about the law. We talked about that 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning. Law, grace, and sons talked about that and how the law and grace work together. This morning I preached about grace. And but something that as we were talking, I was thinking about this, and I made the statement that we're going to make much of the Word of God. We're going to keep preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're, you know, in this day, it is not popular. It really is not popular. But notice Psalm 19 and verse 7. It says this: the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, let's be honest. The reason we don't like the law is because it tells it like it is. Amen. I mean, it's God's law. God wrote it, okay? And it tells it exactly how God wants it to be. You can't really... God, and people are doing this today. You know, well, God didn't mean that, or God didn't mean this, or God, listen to me, folks. God said it how he meant it. He said it in his word exactly how it is. And that law shows us that we're sinners. And we've spent some time talking about that. But it says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And so without the Word of God, we not only, we can't be saved. Mark Letson said this as he gave a testimony. If he didn't have the Word of God, he'd have nothing to say at the campus. By the way, we'd have no reason to have our doors open. We'd have no reason to have this property, no reason to have this building, no reason to meet if we didn't have the Word of God. Well, without the Word of God, we can't be saved. And it says here, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And without the testimony of the Lord, that's his word, we're just simple. We can't ever have wisdom. We need the word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Now, so God's word, it gives rejoicing. That's in his statutes. We can rejoice. Oh, the law, it's so tough. Oh, it's just thou shalt not. God says you can rejoice with his statutes. Yeah. Yeah, that's because we obey them. Amen. That's because instead of shaking our fist at God and saying, I'm going to do what I want to do, we say, God, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen. Anyway, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And you see things better with the Word of God. We can't see anything without the Word of God. We would have no clue what's going on in our world. We'd have no clue about ourselves. It's like we were talking about in the men's prayer time. Brother Letson and I were tag team preaching a little bit. And, the idea that without the Word of God, everybody, lost people, they just think their way, it's just right. They think the flesh is the way to live. They think that just giving in to your flesh, that's how you're supposed to live. I mean, unless you break the law or something like that. Oh, man's law. But they have no clue of God's law. But the commandment of the Lord enlightens our eyes so we can see how it really is. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Notice the word fear of the Lord. You know, so many ministries today have gone far, far away from talking about the fear of the Lord. We don't want to have the fear. Come on. I mean, this is about God is love, L-U-V. God is a God of judgment, folks. Whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. Yeah, that's the ones he loves. He chastens. And so we need the fear of the Lord. It's clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. The word of God is so sweet. It is so wonderful. More to be desired. But notice what it says in verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. What a sad day that in church, all across our world, in churches, people are not being warned by the Word of God. They're not being warned. And you know, our Sunday school classes, our junior churches, everything we do here, over in Shepherd's, people need to be warned by the Word of God. We need to know who we are, what we are. We need to realize that we need to be saved. We need to be shown how to be saved by the Word of God. And then throughout our lives, we need to be warned. I want to be warned of things. I remember when we first moved here. First we lived over in the Prophet's Chamber for about 5 months, but then we moved over here on College Avenue, and so we had city water. It was within the first year that we lived in the house there, we got a notice in the mail. And the notice said that as of such and such date, your water was a possibility of contamination. And I looked at it, and the weeks were already past. I like to be warned about things, amen? And so we glowed in the dark for a while. But you know, folks, listen to me. Thank God for His Word. And again, we talk about the flesh, but without the Word of God, we don't know anything about that. We don't have a clue about the flesh. We don't have a clue about our need to be saved. The law is our schoolmaster, and the law brings us to Jesus Christ and shows us that we need Jesus Christ. I am so glad that somebody told me and preached to me the Word of God so that I could see my need, so I could see the solution to my need, and so that I could accept Christ and be saved. I'm so glad today that God gave us His Word. Don't take it for granted, folks. Don't take it for granted that we believe that preaching the Word of God is more important than anything. Teaching the Word of God is more important than anything. God said that His Word is magnified above all His name. His Word. And let's not take it for granted. Let's praise God for the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And I understand, you know, the big problem when we're getting right into that as we talk about the flesh is, you know, the Word of God, it points a finger at us. And that's what we don't like. By the way, that's what Bible preaching does. It doesn't matter whether you yell or scream or holler. One of the greatest messages ever preached was Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And it was read by the preacher. It was read. But the power behind it was the power from the Word of God. And it was power that points to people. Literally, in that message that Jonathan Edwards read, people were weeping and crawling down the aisles to get on an altar. But it was the Word. It's always where you say, I don't really like preaching. That's because of your flesh. You say, I didn't like that message. That would be your flesh. I've had messages I didn't like either. I've stood up and preached messages that I didn't like. But the only reason I didn't like it was my flesh was crawling. My flesh was upset. My flesh was telling me, don't say that. Don't preach that. You need to pass by that. You need to get away from that. Why? Because our flesh is what we like. It's what our old nature, that old sinful person, it's what we like. And so Paul says, and really, it's so summed up in Romans 7. I remember the first time I read Romans 7 in Bible college, and I didn't have a clue what it was talking about. I mean, it just it goes back and forth and everything. But it's so clear now. It's so obvious to me. Look at verse 22. Paul said, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." He said, I love it. He said, I want to serve God. I want to please God. But then he said this in verse 23. He said, but I see another law in my members. He said, I know God's law is perfect. He would know what the psalmist said. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And he said, I love it. I love the law. I delight in it. I rejoice in the law of God. But he said, I see another law. I see a law inside me, another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. What's he saying? He's saying, sometimes I give in to that other law. Sometimes I give in to that other person. Sometimes I give in. And he said, bringing into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And he said, what we should say when that time comes in our life, when that old man takes over And that old way, that old nature, that old flesh takes over. And we give in and we become into captivity. And we should say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And Paul is so frustrated because he wants to do right. And he says, I believe the word of God. And I love the word of God. I delight in the word of God. I delight in the law that is perfect. But he said, boy, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Who shall? He shall. He shall. Do you understand, everybody here, our biggest problem is us? And honestly, one of these days, that part of our problem will be gone. And when we're in heaven with the Lord, that's why there won't be any sin. There can't be any sin in heaven because there won't be any flesh. That old nature will be gone. Praise the Lord. But until then, let's just learn some things about it. Father, bless the preaching tonight. Help me, Lord, to convey what's in the scriptures and, Lord, what you've laid on my heart. I pray that you'll speak to us. Help us to love your word. And though often it points at us and shows us the sin in our lives and the flesh and the thoughts and reveals and brings to out in the open those things, Lord, I pray that we will continue to go back to it to get the help to be what you want us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we started on this and we gave you number one. That was the description of the flesh. And again, we kind of looked at the idea of the Bible being a mirror. And we look in the mirror and we see what we really look like. I cannot look at Daryl White and say, Daryl, what do I look like? And expect him to tell me the truth. You know, I cannot look at Ray Hollins and say, Ray Hollins, you be my mirror. You tell me what I look like. I can't do that today. I can't go to Glenn Carpenter and say, Glenn Carpenter, I need you to be a mirror for me. Tell me what I look like. Because in every case, they would all say something different. Hopefully, they would all be nice. Then again, we don't know. But they would all say something different. None of it would be exactly what it should be. Had I said to my wife today, this morning, or tonight, had I said, honey, do I look okay? You know she'd have said, oh, honey, you look wonderful. She would. And I may not. And many of you are thinking, you don't. But the truth is, we do have something that will tell us the truth. We have a mirror. And by the way, the bathroom mirror usually works for your physical features. Amen? I mean, it usually tells you the truth. And we have the truth here. The Word of God tells us the truth. And so as we think of the description of the flesh, we don't have to go any farther than the Word of God to find out what we really look like. We don't have to go any farther than what God says. And God says that our works of our flesh are manifest. And when they're manifested, he gives us a whole list of what they are. And that's what we don't like. Galatians 5 is that list, and we went through that 2 weeks ago, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing again. But that list is a humbling list. Would you agree? God says that's us. Brother Pickenpaw, that's you. That's me. Okay? Well, no, we don't like that. That's not a fun thing. Brother Letson, that's you. That list, that is our flesh. And if we let it out, if we show that, if it's manifested to all the world and for all the world to see, this is the way it would come out. This is the way God says it is seen in our lives when we manifest our flesh, and it's adultery and it's fornication. You say, preacher, that's what I don't like about this. Then you'd have to tear out Galatians 5 from your Bible. See, I know, we want all the comfort, we want all the love, and we want all the fun things, and yet God wants us to see what we really are, because he wants us to see that we need help. And adultery, and fornication, and uncleanness, and lasciviousness, and idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, strife, all those things, wrath, seditions, that's what we are. Now you say, but I don't do all those things. No, but you could. Early on in Bible college, I learned the verse, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Because that's what's in you. That's your flesh. That's my flesh. That's our flesh. About time we start thinking we're something, you ought to go back and read Galatians 5. Honestly. Now, again, I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to encourage you and encourage each of us. But that is exactly what God says. It's what we are. And so last week, then, we finished that up, and then we went into talking about the desire of the flesh, and that is exactly what it is. The Bible calls it lust of the flesh. That's a desire. And that lust, it is something that appeals to our senses. By the way, the word sensual is involved in that. It is that which appeals to our senses. And we looked up verses, and the Bible ties it in with being devilish and earthly, which is worldly. That's our flesh. And so we link up the world, the flesh, and the devil with our enemies. Those are all our enemies, and right in there is our flesh, is one of our enemies, trying to drag us down and trying to pull us back to that old wicked life before we got saved. Lust, desire, craving. I must have this. I have to have this. And that's the problem with the flesh. It's what we like. That's the problem. That's how we can say, you know, I like that preacher, but I don't like what he's saying. And eventually we say, I don't like the preacher because I don't like his message. It's like I've said to you, you know, you go to a doctor and it's just amazing how we'll listen to our doctor. But sometimes we change doctors because we don't like what the doctor said. I mean, I got mad when my doctor years ago in Frankenmuth, Michigan, he looked at me and he said, you're fat. Well, he was fat too. I said, well, you are too. He said, well, I'm the doctor and you're here to see me and I'm trying to help you. You're too fat. And I said, well, I'm a preacher and I'm trying to help you. You're too fat. And we kind of had a good time with it, but I was a little bit offended with that. But the fact of the matter is, folks, let's just be real honest about it. I was too fat. So what did he do? He told the truth. Now, you know, we don't like to hear the truth. And I'm one of those guys, especially, you know, as I was losing my hair, you know, people would say, you're losing your hair. And I'd say, no, I'm not. You know, but I'd walk away thinking, I don't like that person. But that was the truth. And maybe they were rude. I don't know. People are. But here, you know, our flesh, it likes whatever it likes. And your flesh likes things that mine doesn't necessarily, but it all lumped up together is we like sin. And there are sins we like. There are some sins. If it's somebody like Tim's sins, those are wicked. Your sins are terrible. They're vile. I can't believe you do stuff like that. And you know, Daryl, your sins are terrible. It's unbelievable the sins you commit. Brother Hollins, I just cannot believe you sin the way you sin. See, I can really get after their sins. But I'm not going to get after mine because I like my sins. You like your sins too. Our flesh likes. It's a desire that we have. And so we talked about that last week. And of course, when God convicts us about our sins through preaching, teaching, reading the Word of God. By the way, the greatest conviction in the world can come sitting in your living room. It should, as you read the Word of God. Amen. You know, it's not just, I'm sorry, folks, it's not just from the pulpit that you're being shot at. It should be in your own home, in your living room. By the way, some of you recognize that, and that's why you quit reading. Amen. It's true. It is true. Why am I reading this thing? I'm depressed. But you wouldn't be depressed if you would deal with what you need to deal with. That's why God points it out to us. So we can deal with it. And so, again, you know, the preaching, the teaching, the reading of the Word of God, we find out that this flesh is so bad, but we like it. God convicts us, and then we have a choice. By the way, that happens every service. It happens in your home. Should happen in your home as you read the Word of God. As you have devotions, Dad, should happen. Whereby there's a decision. You hear me say all the time, decisions are being made every service. And it's always, you say, I came tonight not planning to make any decision. Oh, I know the preacher's preaching on the flesh. I'm not, no, you're going to make a decision. By the way, you just made a decision. You made a decision not to make a decision. That's deep. I know, write it down, think about it later. Okay, but see, here's what happens, okay? The Bible points out this thing in my life, this fleshly thing that I like and that I keep going back to, okay? And I may not go back to your fleshly thing, or I may not go back to your fleshly thing, and I may not go back to your fleshly thing, but I've got my fleshly thing that just keeps pulling on me and bothering me, and I keep messing up like Paul was talking about. And now God shows it, and God says, okay, this is sin. It is sin in your life. It's going to ruin your life, and I'm not real happy about it. Now, what are you going to do about it? Now, what I should do is get on the altar or kneel at my bedside or kneel on the couch, wherever, and say, God, please forgive me and help me to get this thing right with you. Or I could do this. I could do that. That's what a lot of people do. A lot of people, they quit going to church. They quit reading their Bible. They ignore the invitation. You know, invitation, the invitation is like going to the drugstore to get your prescription. But it's even deeper than that. It's getting the prescription, opening up the bottle, and taking the pills. Now, we have a choice, okay? By the way, when God convicts and we say, I don't want to hear it, that's called quenching the Spirit. Stop! Now, there's only one reason we would do that, and that's because we desire that fleshly thing that God's spoken to us about. And so we quench the Spirit. We grieve the Spirit. What's that mean? That means he's sad that we're not listening to him. He's sad. By the way, you parents understand that. They understand that kind of grief. When you tell your young person, okay, here's what I want you to do. Do this, and this will help you, and they don't do it. You're grieved over that because you know they could have done better. You know they could have received help, and it grieves you. As a pastor, that's day in and day out. You watch people, and you just the grief, you know, it's unbelievable. But imagine the Holy Spirit of God who deals with all of us all the time and that battle of our flesh. Why would I ever tell God no? There's only one reason, because I like what he told me not to like. I want to do what he told me not to do. I want to not do what he told me I need to do. And that's the flesh. It's a desire. And then number three, we started in on demonstrations of the flesh, and God very openly, very honestly, as only the Bible can, he shows us over and over and over again demonstrations of the flesh. Now remember, you know, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Remember, the wages of sin is death. And that's all very, very clear. And the Bible is very clear about that. There is no question about those things in the Scripture. And so over and over again, God honestly shows us. And we've all wondered, especially when we first got saved, why does God show us all these bad things that good people are doing? It really bothered me when I first got saved. I thought, wow, Adam and Eve, boy, they're good folks. Ooh, look what they did. And the first children, you know, Cain and Abel, wow, happy family. And Cain did what? I couldn't believe David. That really let me down. You know, I remember going to Bible school and hearing about David, and he was a hero. He killed Goliath. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. But then look what he did. Now see, you know, God very honestly shows us that that's because of the flesh. You know, well, does that mean David's a wicked, vile heathen? David's a person, just like you and me. And so was Esau. And so was Achan, as we talked about. So was Samson. Here's Samson. We all say, oh, how sad his ministry was ruined. But you know what? You look out in empty spaces here, and there's a whole bunch of people's ministries ruined. And it all goes back to one thing, and that is the flesh. Because somebody gave in to their flesh, and they're no longer doing anything for God. They're sitting home tonight, not even thinking about church. It's the furthest thing from their mind. I'm talking about people who used to run buses. People used to go soul winning. People used to teach Sunday school. And it's their flesh. And that's why God says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. Because you have the same flesh. You have the same. I don't care who the guy is. Don't care who it was. Don't care what they did. We all have that same flesh. Every time, just heard about another, just this week, heard about a preacher who ran off in an immoral relationship, lost his family, lost his ministry. Everything's gone. And I just sat there and said, oh, God, protect me. Oh, God, protect me. Hey, folks, what is precious to you? What is precious to you? Because I'm telling you, you'd be amazed what decisions you'll make. You just can't believe you made that decision. These guys, these ladies and men that go to the prisons and the jails, and we have a lot of them that do that. Come on, you have sat down, you've talked to somebody sitting in prison today who will say to you, I don't know why I did that. I don't understand why I did that. Well, I understand why they did that. Flesh. They simply gave in to their flesh. And we talked last week, and I just want to review this one more time, and then we'll get into some more demonstrations. But James, I love this verse. In fact, I think I years ago got an illustration probably from Brother Hiles, and I think I preached that here, just kind of showed the chain of sin. And did I do that here? Does anybody remember that? I would have had little cards and had drawn away lust. Did I do that? All right, some say yes, some say no. But anyway, that's a good sign that I did. James, it tells us about that. And it says, verse 13 of James 1, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted, watch this, when he is drawn away of his own lust. Where's it come from? His own lust. When he is drawn away of his own lust, and he, that same person, is enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that's what's inside of me. It could be the world enticing. It could be the devil tempting. I mean, all those things are true. But it's my own lust. It comes from my own desire. It is my own desire that is getting me in trouble. What got Adam and Eve in trouble? Well, it was their own desire. What got Cain in trouble? It was his own lust. What was it that caused Esau his problem? It was his own lust, his own desire. Achan was the same. Samson was the same. And everybody's the same. We move on as we talk about the demonstrations of the flesh, and we move on to David. And David, of course, as I mentioned, one of my heroes in the Bible. And one of the biggest shocks to me when I realized what David had done. But the Bible says about David that when kings go forth to battle, David tarried in Jerusalem. And I love the way God makes it very, very clear to you and I that David's sin did not start off with adulterous thoughts. David's sin started off with David not being where David was supposed to be. Why wasn't he there? Well, probably his flesh said, you're tired, David. You don't need to go forth to battle. But God's word said it was a time when kings go forth to battle. Where's the king supposed to be? He's supposed to be going forth to battle. By the way, had David gone forth to battle, I have every reason to believe that David would not have committed the sin that David committed. Kind of makes me think sometimes of it's Sunday night, Sunday evening, Sunday late afternoon, and I just don't feel like going to church. You say, preacher, you always feel like, no, I don't always feel like going to church. And I'd come up with an excuse pretty much any time. But I always think about, where am I supposed to be? Well, it's time when preachers go forth and preach. Now, obviously, if you're sick, you're sick. You can't help that. But I'm just saying, come on, we all know about making excuses. We've done it. I remember in school, well, we won't get into that, but I don't want to give you some ammunition. No way. But when kings go forth to battle, that's the time it is. And king, you're supposed to go forth. But he tarried. in Jerusalem. And you know that tarrying in Jerusalem, that is just a small thing that we see about David's flesh. Just a little thing, but it sure did open the door. By the way, when you open the door to the flesh, you open a big door. Go back to your list sometime, and I'm not going to go back to it all the time, and I'm tempted to, but in Galatians 5 is that list, and you just may open the door to laziness. I'm going to go ahead, but when you open that door, you've just let in everything. You've just opened a door that is part of you, that's everything. David, I really don't believe that David planned adultery that day. I don't think so. And you're not planning it either. And you're not planning murder. I don't think David, in the wildest story David could ever hear, he would have said that morning, he would have said, if somebody would have said, you're going to kill Uriah, one of your most loyal men, you're going to have him killed, David would have said, you've got to be kidding me. There is no way I would ever do that. Wasn't it Peter that said, I won't deny you, Jesus? Jesus, there's no way. You know what? Peter meant that. You know what? David would have meant that. You mean it too. But your flesh has other plans. And David's flesh had other plans. David, you're tired. Yeah, I am kind of tired. David, you need to stick around. You need to stay here. Well, you know, it is time for the king to go. I'm supposed to go. No, you stay here. And he tarried. And his flesh. By the way, maybe he said something like this. What's no fun going to battle? You know the no fun people? That's our world today. It's no fun. I heard several, Brother Holland's talking to some folks about team meeting. Oh, that's no fun. Really? As if that's what it's all about. Now we're entertainers. That's not what team meeting's all about. You know, I was refreshed. Donna said, who's in there screaming? We were in the office area. We were leaving men's prayer time. Donna said, who's screaming in there? And I listened in, and I heard Brother Kendall Engel. And he was screaming a little bit. He was screeching just a little bit. I thought, hallelujah. That's the word of God. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I got something in my life and he's preaching against it, I'm not having fun. Amen. I'd rather do a pop-o-matic thing. They don't do that anymore, do they? Remember pop-o-matics? You push a little thing, and the little thing turned around, and the little number came up, and you went so many squares. And no. All right. I'd rather eat pizza. Okay, now you can identify with that. Chocolate cake and cookies and all that kind of stuff. But the truth, you know, David might have said, I'm too tired. It's no fun to go to battle. Or there's something more fun to do. Yeah, let me tell you something. Life is not always fun. How many people are messed up today because it just wasn't fun going to their job? This is why I'm not going to finish this series anytime soon, because I get stuck on stuff like this. Brother Letson, how fun is it going to work, driving, what, an hour and a half one way? Is that fun when it's snowing in the morning? It's not, is it? I can't see. Is it? It's not. It's not. It's just not fun. You know, I mean, and it just, how many people are in trouble today because their job wasn't fun? Yeah. How many people are in trouble today because school's not fun?
I'm going to drop out of school. I don't need school.
No fun. I understand. I'll be honest with you. Every time, I don't care what it was in school, if I didn't study, it seems like that teacher just didn't want me to have fun that day. Teacher gave me an assignment, and typically it was English, and they were always the big assignments. I remember papers that were due and all that kind of stuff. And I said, this isn't any fun. And then when that was due, it was less fun. And you know whose fault that was, that I wasn't having any fun? It was the teacher's fault. And then I finally got smart and realized it wasn't the teacher's fault. It was my own stupidity. Because whenever I did the work, it became more fun. I always had fun making A's. I had fun passing tests. But I found out that I had to work at it to do it. I remember getting my diploma at high school. It was amazing, honestly. And that was fun, getting my diploma. But it was more fun when I got my college diploma. That was real fun. Now, some of the things that led up to that, but see, you just, I don't want to do this. I'm tired. What is tired? What is it that doesn't want to do it? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's your flesh. Your flesh is not your friend. Your flesh is your enemy, okay? Young people, you know, I guarantee there's somebody snickering right now. You know, I'm getting eyeball, you know, the rolling eyes and all that. He doesn't know what he does know what he's talking about. He has flesh too. I do know what I'm talking about. Well, my marriage isn't what it ought to be. Okay. You know what's telling you? It's your flesh. And then flesh meets with other flesh. And flesh gets talking to each other. When flesh talks to flesh, it can't be good. Amen? Because unhappy flesh talking to unhappy flesh is going to yield unhappy flesh. Always. That's why there's all kinds of unhappy texting flesh going on. And unhappy Facebook fleshing going on. Because it's just a bunch of unhappy people. And they get talking to each other. And some of you sit here tonight. And you'll be on it tonight. But I won't know. Because I like to be happy. And you'll flesh all over the place tonight. I don't like my pastor. I kept some stuff for a long time. Some people ripping me to shreds. And all you did. Here's what you did. You said, there's my flesh. That's what you did. You exposed it to the whole world. And it's all over Facebook. And everything else. Here is my flesh. I'm showing you what a wicked flesh I am. And you just did that to everybody. You know? And you say, that'll make him mad. No, it honestly made me feel really bad for you. Because your flesh is not your friend. Your flesh is your enemy. I don't want to go. I'm tired. I don't want to study. Yeah, and so David stayed home. And next thing, once you open the door to your flesh, next thing he saw a woman washing. By the way, that was no accident. Devil knows what he's doing, right? Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Saw a woman washing. He was already in the flesh, so it didn't take much to stir up his flesh. I'll be honest with you. You know, half-naked people walking around all over our world today, if you're already in the flesh, you're headed for trouble. That's why you better walk in the Spirit, sir. And I'm serious. You know, it's just the way it is. Sometimes it's that way just coming to church. Yeah, I know. Another subject. That's why we can't get through these series. But he saw this woman washing. Her name was Bathsheba. And he was already in the flesh. And now his lust is going to conceive. And he commits immorality with her. But that's not all, because once you're in the flesh, you're in the flesh, and now everything's the flesh. You're not even thinking about the Spirit, because now he's got to cover the whole thing up. And so he gets more in the flesh, and he has her husband killed to cover it up. Oh, he tried to fix it in the flesh. And when he used the flesh to try to fix the flesh, he just got more in the flesh. And now he has Uriah killed, one of his most loyal men. Can you imagine that? I wonder how many times David wept over that one time. By the way, that's our abortion problem today. You know, it's a cover-up of the flesh. It's a fleshly cover-up of the flesh. That's why we have abortion today. That's all it is. That's all it is. Happy married couples aren't getting abortions. Amen. People living like farm animals are getting abortions. Don't let them tell you that it's, well, what about rape? And it's just such a small amount. It's people living their wicked lifestyles, wanting to cover it up, wanting to get rid of it. It's inconvenient to me. It's inconvenient to have this baby. It's inconvenient. You know, So you're going to live like an immoral person, and then you're going to kill a little baby to cover up your sin. What is that? That's just the flesh. That's all it is. It's the flesh. And so he has Bathsheba's husband killed to cover up his flesh problem. But you know, the Bible says when it's finished, it brings forth what? Death. Always does. It doesn't say your death. just brings death. And it always is. I don't know what's important to us tonight. What matters to us tonight? You know, what really matters? Because you sit here tonight, you're really making me mad. I'm not trying to make you mad at all. I'm really not. But if that's the case, and all of a sudden pastor's the bad guy, instead of pastor's trying to help me, you are going to find out that your flesh is going to open that door to your life, and pretty soon there's going to be a line of death that you can't even begin to imagine. It just gets so bad. And David shows us a demonstration of the flesh. Amnon shows us the same thing. Oh, I cannot believe what time it is. 2 Samuel, we'll just do this and we'll be done. 2 Samuel 13 and verse 1. 2 Samuel 13 and verse 1. You know this story, but I honestly, this is one of the most obvious flesh stories in the Bible. 2 Samuel 13, 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. He loved her, the Bible says. Verse 2, and Amnon was so vexed, key word there, vexed, that he fell sick for his sister. He was so vexed, he fell sick for his sister Tamar. Watch this. For she was a virgin. He fell sick for her because she was a virgin. And he was vexed with her. He had a lust that was burning, and his lust was greater than his love. And he said, I want that which I cannot have. And that lust, that desire, is such a deep, burning, fleshly desire. Had he really had a friend? The Bible says Amnon had a friend. Had he really had a friend, that friend would have said, run for your life. He was so vexed, he fell sick. He was so lustful, like you are tonight when you get on the internet and look at your favorite sites. You're sick. So sick. You cannot get away from the pornography on the internet and in magazines. And you sit here in church tonight, but nobody knows. I understand. But God knows, and you know. And you're so sick, you're vexed. I just can't turn it off. I just have to go to that chat room. I've got to talk to this person. I just can't get away from it. I have to do it. That was Amnon. He wanted something that he couldn't have. And you'll notice in verse 15, and the Bible says he had a friend, but Jonadab, he was not really a friend. And they work it all out, and they hatch a plan so that Amnon can be alone with Tamar. And you'll notice that he rapes her. Verse 11, when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her, and he said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. Again, trying so hard to get him to reason. But when you're in the flesh, you don't reason. The flesh is the most important. That's why you say what you say to your wife, sir, because you're in the flesh. Ma'am, that's why you say what you say to your husband. You would never say that normally. You'd never say that. But you get so fleshly. I want what I want. I don't care what you say. Don't care what you think. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that is what the flesh does. It is just, nothing is more obvious than when we're doing things we don't normally do. It's like, what am I thinking? And so she's trying to reason with him. He said, this should not be done. This is wrong. And verse 13, and I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king. He will not withhold me from thee. She's begging and pleading with him. Please, don't do this thing. Wait a minute. Didn't it say he loved her? Isn't that what it said? It did, didn't it? See, love is putting them first. That's always love. Understand that. So maybe initially he said, you know, I really love her. And he thought, if I could just do something for her, I'd do it. I'd get her roses. I'd get her this. I'd do this for her. But when flesh kicks in, love gets kicked out. Stay with me now. As soon as flesh gets kicked in, as soon as flesh is in, it moves love right out of the way. If a guy really loves a girl, he waits. Amen. I mean, come on, you know, she's begging him, she's pleading. I mean, I love you, Tamar. That's why I'm gonna ruin your life right now. I love you, Tamar. That's why I'm gonna steal something from you. That's not true, is it? And you know it's not true. And you guys that are thinking those kind of thoughts, you know that's not true either. And you girls that want a guy like that, you're foolish. Absolutely foolish. And I'm gonna show you. What happened to Tamar is what is happening day in and day out, all the time. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. But watch this. What happened? Verse 15. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. Why? Because now it's all about the flesh. Yeah. And once he got what he lusted after, he hated her. Why? Because his relationship wasn't based on love. It was based on flesh. By the way, if a couple marries because of the flesh, they're not gonna do very well. That's why when I counsel young couples, I'm very, very clear. Okay, listen to me. Husband, love your wife. That has nothing to do with the flesh. In fact, it's the opposite of the flesh, because what a man is to say is, he's to say, I love you, therefore you come before me. See, flesh is always saying, I want what I want. Love says, I want what you want. Are y'all listening to me? Okay, and then the Bible says, for the woman, submit to your husband. What's she saying? She's saying, honey, you're first. So really, what are they both saying? And it says in Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another. So the husband is saying, I want what you want. The wife is saying, honey, I submit to what you want, and there's no flesh in that. None. That's why living together isn't even a good trial. It's a joke. It is a joke. It is not, you know, I've had people say, well, don't you think you buy a car, you got to try it out. You're an idiot. Because that's not what marriage is about. Marriage is about a couple committing to one another and saying, I put you first to each other. That's what it's all about. Flesh? Well, what about the flesh? Well, the flesh has nothing to do with it. The flesh is a bad thing. Do you desire a relationship? If it's in marriage, you can. And there's nothing wrong. But outside of marriage, God says, that's wrong. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, all those things. By the way, much of this isn't in my notes. I just have to think God must have wanted me to say what I just said. I don't know. I just covered 2 points out of many. Tonight, we need to understand the flesh is not our friend. Okay, you know, young people, my parents are always, okay, the only reason you have problems with your parents is your flesh. Okay, I'm going to tell you this, love your parents more than you love your flesh. You'll be better off, you'll be a lot safer, okay? Well, that teacher loves you, okay? That teacher's trying to help you, okay? The preacher's trying to help you. The youth workers are trying to help you. Your flesh is trying to ruin you. Yeah, man, I like. That's a dangerous thing right there. Be careful. Be real careful. Amnon liked. Amnon desired. Amnon took. Then Amnon hated. And by the way, Tamar's life was ruined. Folks, when kings go forth to battle, when people go forth to church, when servants go forth to serve, we shouldn't be goofing off. Because you open the door to the flesh, and you'll reap what the flesh reaps. Let's bow our heads, please. I have really run out of time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Tonight, I'm waging war against the flesh. I waged war against my flesh. Paul said it. How many tonight would say, "Preacher, God's speaking to my heart about some areas of my life. Pray for me." Raise your hand. Just slip it up. God's speaking to my heart. Father, please bless our invitation. Have your will with us. I pray you will, and I pray you'll help us in this war. The world, the flesh, the devil, out to destroy our lives. Help us, God, to be wise to look at your word and heed your word and listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.